This morning, if you are a guest with us, we are concluding a four-week series on really the book of Hosea. Our theme over this season has been God's relentless love. Now, why the book of Hosea over the Advent season? Well, because really, the overriding story of the whole Bible is God's relentless pursuit for humanity. It's made evident first in the story of Jesus coming into the world as a baby, ultimately dying on the cross for us. Now, the first week of Advent, we looked at the story of Hosea and how he was told to marry a prostitute, a wayward woman who rebelled. Week two, we looked at the story of repentance and the story of beginning the relationship. Last week, we looked at the story of what reconciliation looks like. But now we come to the part which really is part of the story of the gospel, part of the story of your life and my life, as how God has designed each of our lives to flourish, to live out of the abundance, out of the extravagance, out of the goodness of God's love. So that's where we find ourselves as we walk into the Christmas week. So let's read from Hosea 14. You'll find that on the screen. Hosea 14. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all your sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our loins. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like that of an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in his shade. They will flourish like the grain. They will blossom like the vine. Israel's fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more have to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I am like a flourishing Jupiter. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Last week, I went out for lunch one day, and if you know me, this shouldn't surprise you. I talk to everybody. And so I sat down next to one guy. He was about 50 years old. He had just recently lost his wife. And on the other side was a 20-something-year-old guy we're going to call Tim. Now, this 50-year-old guy and I were talking about what it must be like to be 20. How exciting it must be to be at the pinnacle of life and be able to enjoy all of this stuff. And then the older guy, a few years older than me, so he'll be old, left. And I started to talk to Tim. And so I said, Tim, how's it going? And he began to tell me about work and how work wasn't going very well. How he didn't like his job. He wasn't happy. And then he goes, why am I even telling you this? But then he kept on talking. He goes, well, my friendship group isn't going very well, and I'm thinking about quitting my job, and I want to go look somewhere else. And it's kind of like religion, you know? Tim, kind of like religion. What do you mean? You know, you're searching for something. Oh, Tim. I mean, I didn't say it, Tim, but like, come on, Tim. I go, so Tim, what are you searching for? Tim didn't know it, but God was trying to get Tim's attention. And in that moment, in that little lunch conversation, I was the person. I was the do what we're going to talk about in a few moments. In Tim's life, that became in that moment the answer to his question of everything that he had been longing for. You see, Tim was searching for God and he didn't even really know it. But have you ever noticed that God speaks in a variety of different ways? As the book of Hosea opens, God speaks in a loud, repent from your sin kind of language. You could say tones of anger. But then there's tones of extravagance, isn't there? I think of the extravagant way in that God blessed Israel, or like how it happens when a guy is pursuing a young woman and the extravagant ends that he will go to win her affections. God speaks in a gentle whisper. But here in the last chapter of Hosea, God speaks through a prayer. The prayer of reconciliation. Of how God will forgive, how God will be gracious, how God will save. You see, in our passage, what's happening in the story of Hosea and Gomer between God and Israel is the same place where Tim was. And we got to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Why do we keep searching for the blessing of God, the abundant life, the grace of God, when we know that it's found in the child of the manger who would go to the cross? This morning, I want you to ask yourself something about our passage. Are we allowing ourselves to come to the manger this morning to believe that God's grace is enough to save? But also for us to flourish, to experience the abundant life, to experience joy in the midst of struggle, to experience peace and hope and happiness, and to stop running, to stop searching. So here's a question for you. Have we called out to God? Have we received God's grace? Here's a beautiful word that Hosea gives us. I, that is God, will heal them, and I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away, and I have forgiven. Isn't that the message that Tim really needed to hear? That the God who is pursuing him accepts him for who he is, for all that he has done, and for exactly where he is. And God simply says, I want to have a relationship with you. So, Tim, my conversation went on. What is it that you're searching for? Beyond your job? Beyond friends? What is it, Tim, that you really want out of life? The heart and the love of God. The baby born in the manger melts the heart, doesn't it? It forgives our sin. And then you come to this beautiful part where he says that God wants to bless you. Now, there's three things that our passage says. It says that there is dew, there is lily, and there is a cedar. Now, you need to understand he's using language that the people of Israel would have gotten. All three of them were pertinent to Israel's life and survival. So here he says this. I will be like dew to Israel. Ronnie Graham writes, and it's a little bit of a sidetrack, but it ties in. Have you ever wondered why God does what he does? Why God creates certain things and you wonder, what really is the purpose? Have you ever wondered why we need precipitation? Over the last 48 hours, I suspect most of us would say, okay, God, I think we've had enough. Like, man, that's a lot of shoveling. But in certain parts of the world, they don't get snow. Like in the tropical areas, but they get lots of rain. The Arctic doesn't get much rain, but it gets a lot of snow. We seem to get rain, we seem to get snow, we seem to get sleet, we seem to get mist, we seem to get dew. But here he speaks specifically to dew. Here's what it says about dew. Dew is a deposit of water droplets formed at night by condensation of water vapor from the air onto the surface of objects exposed from the sky. It forms on clear nights when the air is calm and winds are light. That process produces dew as the sun begins to set and night begins to fall. It is said that on the average night, there's roughly 3/100ths of an inch of dew. Now, here is God saying to Israel, I will be like dew to you. In a place that during April to October got very little rain at all. And if it wasn't for the dew, nothing in Israel until the autumn rains came would survive. It's because of the dew that the plants were able to absorb enough moisture that they were able to live and move and do what a plant is supposed to do. Dew is a picture for the people of God of favor, of life, of abundance, of extravagance, of prosperity, of resurrection to life. So I want you to think of your own life this morning. God says, I will be like dew to you. The promise of abundance. The promise of security. When our life is dry, when things feel as though they're barren. So let me ask you a question. How has God been pouring out his abundance in the hard times of your life? I will be like dew to you, insert your name. God promises to quench our thirst. What are those moments in your life where God has been refreshing you? I will be like a dew to Israel. It's about abundance. How has God been encouraging you in your life? I will be like a dew to Israel. Did you notice how the dew just didn't fall sometimes? Dew fell all of the time. And so as we look at the story of dew, God continues to refresh our lives each and every day so that we could tell the story of grace, the story of the one who loves us, that we're able to deal with the dry times of life. I will be like dew to Israel, so that you and I can tell the story of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, some of you may say, you know, you tell that us this all the time. You want us to share the story of our faith. And you know what? Absolutely. But I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't think you can do. Because here's the interesting thing. It's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I've gone to seminary. But you know what? I just sat down and I said to Tim, hey, Tim, how you doing? That this 20, I think he must have been about 23-year-old guy told me his whole story. You have neighbors. You have family members. You have coworkers. All I'm simply asking you to do is ask a couple questions. And you'll be surprised how many people want to tell their story and how you could simply say to the Tim, you know what? There's a God who loves you. You know what? Why don't you come in and meet him on Christmas Eve? I think we can all do that. That's what God's inviting us to do in the story of our refreshment, is to live out our faith. And as he blesses us, to look at those moments where God has shown up. But then there's the lily. A lily is very, very common in this part of the world. So not only does God refresh us, but God causes us to grow. And it's seen in the story of the lily. Pliny the Elder, the first century historian, would tell you that bulbs were very, very common to this area. Lilies were very common. We're not told what kind of lily it is, and I don't think it's important. But what's very interesting is that as soon as the spring came, the lilies seem, like here, to sprout out of nowhere and grow and blossom and let out a beautiful aroma and picture of what they're created to be. That, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is who you and I are called to be. That the beautiful fragrance of God's work in our lives. Have you ever noticed how when somebody comes to faith, they're excited? I mean, they just can't wait to come to church. They can't wait to go to Bible study. They can't wait to do anything in the world for the church. Man, and talk about God. Man, they're excited to talk to Tim. Man, you almost have to shut them up because they're just so excited. And as you and I taste the goodness of God, that's God's desire for us, that we would be as beautiful as that lily. But then he stops and he says, but remember, there's something a little bit more. Because although the lily is beautiful, I want you to grow. Because a lily can easily be picked and plucked up because it's not growing and its roots are not deep. The picture of the lily is the invitation for us to come to faith and to trust God when we don't understand. To live by faith when things don't make sense. To believe that the God who refreshes you, who sustains you, who encourages you, is going to carry you all the way home. And then there's the cedar. Smith's commentary will tell you that the average cedar is about 70 feet high and 63 feet in diameter. It is believed that the roots grow as deep as the tree is high. So you picture a tree now that is 70 feet or so high, having roots that deep. When the storms and the struggle and the hard times of life come, you're still going to be able to find refreshment. Why? Because the roots know where to go for water. And when it can't find water, the roots go even deeper to find water. But it also means that there's stability for you and I in life. That as we walk through life, we can be absolutely secure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the one who created the world, who sent his son in the form of a little child, will carry us home. But it's also a sign of strength. I think there's a message for the church in this passage as well. Of one that is deeply anchored. Of one that is secured. That one will endure. I like how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. He says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession and spreads us everywhere as the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For you are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and who are not yet saved, to ones who have not tasted life, and to those who have tasted life. You and I have a story to tell. You and I are being rooted and growing in the likeness of Christ. Tim is still sitting there at the table as we're chatting. Must have been about 45 minutes to an hour that we chatted. Tim couldn't define what he was searching for. He wasn't ready to admit that it was God that he needed. But you know what? The conversation has been started. I'm hoping that I'll meet Tim again. Maybe he'll even come on Christmas Eve. Who knows? But what I love about the story is the invitation for you and I who have experienced the goodness, the blessing of God to tell the story. So let me ask you this morning, what's the do in your life? Can you point out this morning how God is falling fresh in your life? How the story of assurance and of hope and of faith and of grace is becoming real? My hope and my prayer is that in this week, that we'll be like that lily, but a lily who is rooted deep, that we may give the aroma, the beauty, and have the excitement of the one who has saved us. Advent is the story of God entering into the context of our passage into the slave market of humanity to begin the story of redemption. Why? Because God loves you. God desires that you would be forgiven, that you would know him. But here's the best part. God's desire is that you would be able to live abundantly, not half-heartedly, not half-baked, but you would be able to live to the full measure, to the full likeness of Christ, that you would be able to be filled with joy and hope and peace and vibrancy, and that we would be able to become all that God wants us to be. Because that is the result of the cross. So why Hosea over Advent? Because you can't have the manger without the cross. And you can't have Easter without Christmas. So here's the message for us as we go into Christmas week. God was born for you and I, that we may have life and live it abundantly. Let's pray together. Fall afresh on us this morning, O God, like dew. For Lord, there are some of us this morning that need to be encouraged. There are some of us this morning that wonder if you even care or what's the point. There's others of us that will go in to Christmas week, Lord, with lots of family activities and wondering how we're going to get through it. I want to pray for Tim, but I'm not sure where he is in his walk with you. We had a brief encounter, and maybe that opened the door. But I want to pray for Tim and all the Tims of the world, Lord, that they would come to the place where they would understand why they were created, and that they would learn to live life and stop searching and experience the abundant life which your word promises. Lord, I want to give you thanks for grace and for hope and for mercy. We pray this morning that you would speak into our story with not only dew, but with a monsoon of the outpouring of your Spirit. That we would again taste of what it means to be the aroma of Christ. And that together as Community Christian Reformed Church, together we would be rooted and growing in Christ. And that together we would rejoice and to celebrate the God who loves us. And that we would tell anyone who would listen. Lord, we want to pray for the upcoming Christmas Eve and Christmas Day service, Lord, as many guests will come through our doors. We pray that they would not only hear the story of the gospel, but they would see the story alive and well within the members of this church. We pray that you would refresh us. Lord, we thank you for little Jacob Kroon, Lord, who had surgery this past week. Lord, we thank you that the surgery was successful. We pray that his little body would just continue to heal and that you would continue to strengthen his body. And would you be with his parents, Lord, as they walk this journey with him? And that, Lord, you would ultimately and completely and totally heal him. Lord, thank you for the story of grace. And so, Lord, as we walk into Christmas, May our hearts be ready to say, O come, Emmanuel. And thank you that you are with us. In your name we pray. Amen.